Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Danielle Azarova and we begin with the news. Two more Czech victims of the Indian Ocean disaster have been identified in Thailand. President Klaus has signed three new bills into law, and the Czech government plans to make a bid for the future European Institute for Equal Opportunities for Men and Women to be based in Prague. Those are the headlines, and now the news in more detail. Two more Czech victims of the Indian Ocean disaster have been identified in Thailand, bringing the number of confirmed Czech victims to three. Five more Czechs are missing in Thailand and Sri Lanka. It is believed that none of them survived the disaster. The Czech Foreign Minister Cyril Svoboda on Friday visited the island of Phuket, which was devastated by the tsunami. He was acquainted with some of the charity projects funded from Czech donations, including the reconstruction of fishing villages and local schools. He praised the work of NGOs and handed over some medical equipment to the local hospital. Czechs have sent some 40 million crowns in public donations to the devastated region. President Václav Klaus has signed three new bills into law relating to health care, health insurance and social benefits. The bill relating to health care will modify the requirement that physicians, dentists and pharmacists must have a clean criminal record. Doctors and medical staff will be allowed to seek work in their given field if their transgression is not related to their profession, for instance, if they were found guilty of causing a traffic accident. The second bill concerning health insurance should help mainly diabetic patients, since it will give them the right to more free medical equipment needed for daily care. The Czech government plans to make a bid for the future European Institute for Equal Opportunities for Men and Women to be based in Prague. Hungary and Slovenia have also expressed interest. The proposal for such an institute to be set up, preferably in one of the EU newcomer states, was made by the Czech Euro Commissioner Vladimír Špidla. If it is approved by the European Parliament, the institute should start work in 2007. Heavy snowfall overnight is reported to have complicated traffic in many parts of the Czech Republic. A pile-up on the highway from Prague to Brno caused long delays. Trains packed with skiers heading for the Krkonoše mountain resorts were delayed by almost 2 hours after a train got stuck in heavy snow drifts early this morning. And many mountain roads remained impassable for hours, despite the fact that road maintenance crews worked around the clock. Meteorologists warn that a similar situation may arise on Sunday morning, since more snow showers and a strong wind are expected overnight. Drivers are warned not to head for the mountains without the respective gear, chains, sand and shovels. Sunday is expected to be partly cloudy with more snow in the higher altitudes and day temperatures between 0 and 4 degrees Celsius. I'm Danielle Azarova and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, and my name is Peter Smith. Coming up later in today's programme, in One-on-One, Rob Cameron speaks to Vladimír Miller, the Czech Republic's Deputy Foreign Minister for Europe. There'll also be another letter from Prague, but we're going to kick off today, as usual, with Magazine, presented by Daniela Lazarová.
Along with the rest of Europe, the Czech Republic is experiencing a very long winter indeed, with the heaviest snowfall in over 40 years. Winter sports enthusiasts are having the time of their lives, and although many people can't wait to see the first real spring day, there's no reason not to make the most of it while the snow lasts. People have started decorating their gardens and yards with snow sculptures, many of which make the evening news. Apart from the obvious, igloos, castles and yetis, the snow artists are producing animals, snow queens, cars and, surprise, surprise, a huge bottle of Pilsner beer. The 7-meter-tall bottle is as tall as the house behind it, and cars slow down for a better look at it as they go past. A 14th century manuscript that Czechs regard as part of their national heritage is to go on sale at a Paris auction this month after the Czech Republic failed to get it withdrawn. The work is a fragment of a Latin translation, previously unknown, of Dalimil's Chronicle, the oldest known verse written in the Czech language. It was written in around 1314, at the beginning of the reign of the Bohemian king Jan Lucemburg, or John of Luxembourg. The Latin translation, consisting of 24 pages of parchment, was owned by a French family who had forgotten about the medieval treasure tucked away in a drawer, according to a Parisian dealer in a rare box quoted in the Czech press. According to Vlastimil Ježek, director of the National Library of Prague, the work about Bohemia is the most valuable to come on the market in the past 80 years. The library intends to take part in the bidding. The catalogue price for the manuscript is between 120 and 150,000 euros. And the sale is to take place on March the 17th at the Paris auction house Drouot. When you decide to quit smoking, you need to make sure you're properly motivated to stick to that decision. A young man from the town of Klatovy placed a bet with friends at the pub that he would not light a cigarette after smoking his last one in front of them. But the urge to light up was too strong, and so after only a few weeks, he was forced to pay the fine, running across Klatovy's main square stark naked. In sub-degree temperatures, it was quite an achievement, and he was cheered on by a crowd of amused onlookers. The police recently had trouble with a drunk found rolling out in the snow. Two officers had a hard time getting him to the local drunk tank, where he suddenly went berserk and bit one of the employees who was trying to strap him to the bed. It was only in the morning that the officers found out who the aggressive drunk was, a teacher of the prestigious police academy. The man faces charges of assault and will lose his job. The Czech insurance company Česká spořitelna has installed the very first money machine for the blind in Prague's Jungmannova Street. The machine is equipped with earphones and the client is given step-by-step directions working with a special keyboard for the blind. Up until now, blind people were unable to operate money machines without the help of a sighted person. Česká spořitelna has promised to put into operation 7 other money machines for the blind in other major Czech towns and cities. All of the machines will be located so as to be under 24-hour surveillance in order to prevent blind people from being robbed as soon as they get their cash. Czech school kids are having a harder time trying to hide any transgressions from their parents. In the days of classical report cards, a little booklet where teachers entered marks received on any day of the school week or wrote complaints of the type, "Your child is disruptive in class," many a child would forget to get it signed, lose it, or simply sign it in their parents' place. Anything to avoid a row at home. Now many Czech schools use mobile phones and emails to send messages directly to parents. And although the old report cards are still used, many teachers now put up grades received in the course of every week on the internet as well. Parents can thus keep a sharp eye on their child's grades. However, kids are kids, and it will not take them long to discover the loopholes in these communication channels either, especially when all it takes for a few days of absence is to send your teacher a mail from your mum's mobile. One kid recently found that this has its downside as well. After successfully sending the message to say he was sick, he went off to play football. Much to his mother's surprise, within 2 hours she received a copy of the subject covered that day by email so that her son would not fall behind in his work. Maker Škoda presented a brand new model at the car show in Geneva this month. Although the bright blue off-road model Yeti raised plenty of interest, it will not actually go into production. Škoda, which is celebrating its 100th birthday this year, says the Yeti is merely meant to show the direction which the automaker intends to follow in the coming years. Those who are charmed by it can look forward to the Roomster, a new Škoda model due to come on the market next year, which is said to be something of a cross between a minivan and off-road, ideal for town use. Puppeteers from the town of Liberec are planning to stage a puppet play based on a true story, the burning down of the Prague National Theatre in 1881. When the theatre burnt down and the Czech public collected money to build it up again, the town of Liberec apparently refused to join in, allegedly because most of the inhabitants were German, not Czech. The Liberec puppeteers say they want to repay their debt by staging a play about the devastating fire on the stage of the National Theatre itself. The theatre management has agreed to host a number of performances and has only one condition, that the puppeteers strictly adhere to all safety regulations and do not set the building alight.
Daniela Lazarová there, presenting Magazine. There'll be another one the same time next week. And Daniela doesn't go away. She stays with us now for another of our Letters from Prague.
International Women's Day came and went this week without too many people noticing. Although Women's Day was first marked in 1908 in the United States, in the minds of the vast majority of Czech women, it will forever remain a communist holiday, a day on which women received identical red carnations and a small gift like a set of towels or the same cheap perfume for all women working in a given enterprise. This ceremony was preceded by lengthy Dear Comrades speeches and followed by an office party with the compulsory chlebichky, open-faced sandwiches and cheap wine. It was an occasion to flirt and get drunk, and such occasions were welcome at any time of the year. But one could hardly say that women felt cherished. Indeed, they usually had to provide the party food and clean up afterwards. So after 1989, Women's Day was discarded like an old worn coat that nobody cared to be seen in. Although Parliament last year voted to reinstate Women's Day as one of the significant days in the Czech calendar, the decision has remained pretty much on paper. Walking through Prague on Tuesday, March the 8th, I could see no signs of upcoming festivities. No women leaving delis with platters of chlebichky, no tipsy men with red carnations, and even flower shops were having a quiet day. As every year, the shops switched directly from Valentine cards to Easter bunnies, shrugging off International Women's Day as a non-starter. The only opinion poll on the subject that appeared in the press suggests that they're right. This holiday is not one that Czechs want to hold on to. Respondents of all ages said they would not be marking it. "It's not my kind of holiday, and I never really cared for it," were the most common answers. Many felt the holiday was organized and impersonal, and they much preferred to celebrate their own private occasions, such as the anniversary of their wedding or first date with someone special. The only activities connected with Women's Day in the Czech Republic were a few Communist Party festivities for women, a conference on women's rights in Prague, and a happening in support of the rights of Muslim women. Slowly, Czechs are beginning to see Women's Day in a new light.
Daniela Lazarova there with Letter from Prague. Now, in this week's one-on-one, Rob Cameron speaks to Vladimír Miller, the Czech Republic's Deputy Foreign Minister for Europe. Just how will the Czech Republic ratify the EU constitution with a Eurosceptic president installed in Prague Castle and continued political turmoil delaying the announcement of a referendum? Vladimír Miller began by explaining to Rob why he thought the EU needed a constitution in the first place.
It is obvious. EU needs to be operating at 25. It needs to take quick and effective decisions. And the globalizing world poses some threats, and we need to be in good coordinations. So the EU constitution is, for me, achieving further steps in economic integration plus some political coordination, especially fighting against terrorism.
Now, for many months, Czech officials, senior Czech officials, have been indicating at least that in the Czech Republic, the EU constitution will be decided in a referendum. Recently, however, amid the political turmoil that we're seeing at the moment, there have been some suggestions that there will be no referendum and instead the constitution will be put to a parliament. As things stand now, which way do you think it's going to go? Will there be a referendum in this country on the constitution?
Both ways are possible, of course. However, as I see the composition of contemporary parliament, I think it would be very, very difficult to ratify the treaty in Parliament, and I think that some political subjects are not ready to take full responsibility for rejecting the treaty, and at the end, this is why I think that at the end of the day, there will be a referendum.
The Czech people are perhaps among the more Eurosceptic people in the European Union. At least they are more apathetic about the EU, about the constitution. Isn't a referendum in this country a risk?
I don't think so. I would like to say that some indication from Eurobarometer, but also from the pencils of some political scientists, are not always correct. Czechs are realistic, pragmatic, and don't believe in advance. In a way, they are similar to Britons. And as regards the pro-Europeans, I think that Czechs are quite in favor in European integration, even voters of Conservative Party, unlike some politicians.
Nonetheless, it's certainly a risk to leave that to chance, leave it to the last minute. Obviously, this government will do everything in its power to persuade the Czech people to say yes in this referendum. What will the government do? What is the government's strategy to get a yes vote in a referendum?
I think that the government and political class in general must do at least two things. Must do good timing for referendum and acceptable ratification procedure, plus good information campaign. A good information campaign means that the people are informed in acceptable way and palatable way, so to speak, and they are getting information needed, not solemn proclamations about some very important things which people do not understand their relations to their everyday life.
Indeed, often it is said that handing out leaflets or posters and so on is just simply not enough. I noticed when I came into the entrance of the Foreign Ministry this morning, there is a rack of leaflets about the European Union. Is that level of campaigning enough? Should you perhaps be more looking to the example of Spain, which had a very, very, very bombastic campaign in favour of a yes vote?
I can imagine that we can have something similar as in Spain, but the bombasticity shouldn't be the same because it could bore Czechs or it could provoke some refusals.
Now, the Czech Republic is perhaps in a unique position in that the government is in favour of the constitution. The country's president, the head of state, Václav Klaus, is a Eurosceptic or by his own admission, a Euro-realist. He is against the constitution and he has outlined 10 points by which he explains the constitution is a bad thing. Mr. Klaus is a very, very popular man. He speaks to the people. Aren't you worried that in this debate his voice will be heard much more clearly than yours?
You are right. His voice is heard clearly because he's a good communicator and he has high esteem and respect within the population. This is right on the one side. On the other side, if politicians, not officials, but politicians, stand up and are clear about their points, I think that population or citizens are bright enough to compare facts and to do the right decision. Last time when we had referendum on the entry to the EU, the situation was more or less similar, and the pro-European voice prevailed in a clear way.
Now, I'd like you just for a second to imagine the very worst case scenario. The Czech government spends, I don't know, 200 million crowns on a yes campaign. The vote happens, Czechs say no. What happens then if the Czechs reject this treaty?
Just to the amount of money, it hasn't been decided if such an amount will be provided for a campaign. Second, if there will be some projects from NGOs, etc., it's obvious that a part of the money should be given also to the other camp, because in a democratic society you need to enable both sides to express themselves.
But if the Czechs say no, what then? What happens if the Czech Republic rejects the EU constitution?
If Czech Republic rejects the EU constitution, that's up to the council to decide further steps. We had lessons drawn in case of Ireland, for example, or Denmark, and we know that to correct, in a way, the country's position within the EU is much more costly than to prepare referendum. So I think it could lead to isolation of the country for a while, and not from the part of EU institutions or from some member states, but it could have exert a certain influence on investments or trade whatsoever, or the hallmark of the country in general.
I don't know if you are a betting man, if you enjoy gambling. Would you put money on the Czechs saying yes in a referendum on the EU constitution?
Yes, I would. I would bet money, because I know Czech citizens and I know their attachment to Europe. They only do not like solemn declarations about a future heaven. They just don't believe it. But if they have to choose between isolation of the country or to be part of the game, they decide the second option.
Rob Cameron was in conversation with Vladimír Mila, the Czech Republic's Deputy Foreign Minister for Europe, in this week's One-on-One. Now we're almost out of time here on Radio Prague. Don't forget, we do like to hear from you. The address, Radio Prague, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic, and the email, english@radio.cz. english@radio.cz. That's it from me, Peter Smith. Until next time, bye-bye. Thank you.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 8h30, 8h57. Europe, 9880, 11600. 17h30, 17h57. Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 15710. 19h30, 19h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 9430, 23h, 23h27, Amérique du Nord, 5930, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz.